Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to San Diego. Manic Monday, kicking off another week here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Gwynn and Chris for you, and a full 4 hours. A little surprising for a Monday, but we'll give you the schedule here in just a moment. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. We have a very busy 4 hour show today, and we'll go down the rundown here. But we're on later than normal because it's a NFL Monday night doubleheader, and we are going to be carrying the second game, which is Houston at Seattle, 7 o'clock. So we'll be on until 6. Scraby will do a special Monday night chronicles and take us on up to kickoff. So that's what we are headed towards. I begin, guys, by saying hi and welcome in and hello and how is everybody's weekend? And I hope nobody had plans in Orange County or Los Angeles on Saturday because nobody could get there. It was a crazy weekend around here.
I did not have any
plans. You were
plans
good.
Up
you
there.
Were good. Yeah. I got held up in trying to get up there and had to change plans. I know the USD basketball team was supposed to play a scrimmage against Cal State Dominguez Hills. They didn't make it either. Yeah. So, if you didn't make it up to LA Orange County Saturday, you were not alone. There were a lot of people in your shoes. The Padres still don't have their manager, but the Dolphins still have their head coach. I think that's how I have to start it today. I'm not going to get too deep into the Dolphins situation, but the fact that they have allowed Mike McDaniels another week after that debacle yesterday is something we'll have to ferret out a little bit later on, guys. But on the Padre manager situation,
ladies and gentlemen, forgive my partner. He is hurting today. He comes in
so bad.
We got Scraby and I both got texts. What was that, Sunday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Sunday night?
About fourth quarter, actually. I was watching Fairly Live, which is weird for me.
He said, this is the lowest.
This is the lowest point. It's the lowest I can remember feeling in a long time. So,
and I know it's bothering him because he found a way to sneak that in there.
I can't believe it. I honestly kept going online last night on Twitter and
waiting
to hear the announcement. Like, what are they thinking? And they come out today and go, we're not making any change. And then he says he's not making any change at quarterback. And so I guess I'm in for more of the same. But
who's the backup?
Quinn Ewers. They have nothing to go to. Zach Wilson.
That's probably why he said that.
Well, he came in yesterday and immediately threw a near interception that was dropped, and then he himself fumbled 2 straight snaps and then walked off the field. Yeah, so he showed he was far from ready to play either.
I think the reason we're opening with this is because it really has bothered Chris this game yesterday.
That's what I said.
Literally, it's been a different mood since.
It's embarrassing. It's flat. I mean, it's embarrassing. All right, let me get off of that because I know nobody tuned in to hear my anguish about the Dolphins today. What you do want to hear about, though, is that the Padres and Albert Pujols are going to be meeting soon. Alden Gonzalez Gonzalez, among others, reporting that today on ESPN.com. And Alden will be joining us at 2:40 today. So we'll get the very latest from him on the Padres' search for a new manager. Pujols had been a candidate to take over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. But apparently, even though there was some mutual interest there, the two sides could not get close on any kind of an agreement. So Pujols is, continues to be a, apparently, Tony, highly sought after free agent in the managerial world, 45 years old. He is absolutely loved by so many people, but among them Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., which is a good place to start if you're going to be the new manager of the Padres. And apparently he is going to be having an interview here shortly.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, he's expressed interest. Padres sound like they've expressed interest.
And, yeah.
Immediate respect walking in the building.
I would think. He's got 700 homers.
I mean, I don't know that anybody really understands the level of respect that guys like Manny and Toddy and really all the way on down, he reaches all corners of a locker room. And yeah, man, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, good, bad. I'm just saying in terms of on its face, it's a no-brainer that you at least interview and kind of go from there.
Yeah, career 703 home runs. I think he's one of only, let me see, Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, Albert Pujols, 700 club. That's pretty much the end of it. You know, career OPS of 918 and three times an MVP in the National League. So, you know, it's interesting about Albert Pujols. I mean, he's been able to get some managing here with the Dominican Republic and kind of get his feet wet and all of that, Tony. I've always felt, and I know you've kind of been in agreement with me on this, but except for the rare occasion, and hopefully, and I am assuming Albert Pujols will be the rare occasion, because, you know, sounds like he's cutting his teeth and doing quite well. Normally, great Hall of Fame players in their sports are not the greatest managers, coaches. And I think some of it stems from the fact that as great as they are, they wind up managing or coaching athletes that don't quite share the same fortitude that they have. And I know Magic Johnson couldn't do it. Michael Jordan's terrible ownership. I can bring up a bunch of different stories. Larry Bird was one that was quite successful with the Indiana Pacers. But anyway, I'm pretty excited about Pujols, if that's the way it turns out to be. And I'm also pretty excited with some of the things that Eric Grubner said today. This Padres CEO was on with Ben and Woods this morning. We're going to play you some of that on the show here in the next segment. But I think most clearly was Eric Grubner's belief and desire, at least stated to Ben and Woods, that A.J. Preller get a contract extension done and remain with the Padres. And I think I'm definitely happy to hear that. I assume you are as well, Tony.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is, I think, exactly what, you know, I think most people want it to hear. And
yeah.
It's good to see that it seems like there is a higher probability of that happening, you know, and, you know, maybe it was that way the whole time. You never
right,
know.
Right. Yes, right. We were trying to create a bunch of different right. things that never have been true.
At the end of the day, it makes sense. Once again, I mean, this is a head of baseball operations that has, I don't know, and had no problem finding talent, getting talent, and has been able to come get creative when, you know, things got tight. And I just don't know that I see a lot of GMs, you know, outside of a handful out there that aren't available at this point that would do it as well.
Let me ask you this, because it was said that Mike Schilt largely left the clubhouse alone. And let the players govern themselves.
Yeah, he was too busy yelling at all of his lieutenants,
yes,
apparently.
That's what we hear. But, like, if Albert Pujols, like, as a guy, like Chris said, he's a Hall of Famer.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the good thing about
Albert. He's on his way.
Well, here's the good thing. If Albert Pujols becomes manager, maybe we all get to go to Cooperstown when he's inducted.
Oh, there you go.
I like the way you're thinking.
That is great.
I like the way you're thinking.
That's the way I'm
Adam,
thinking.
Adam, listening.
We got to be there.
My thing is, like, what does... Because he obviously has the experience. He knows what it takes to win a championship. He's done all the different things that Chris has said he's done. Does he need to... Because I said on Friday, first-year manager probably out. He's a first-year manager. Does his experience over the years, or is it his name that we're excited about? His playing experience or his name?
I think it's the idea that his playing career has led to his experiences being something that the players can identify with. I don't know that it really, in terms of his numbers alone, no, it won't matter at all because he can't do that anymore. But can he, you know, garner a locker room and kind of galvanize, be able to get grown men to kind of follow you, you know, and follow at least the way you see the game. So that, I mean, yes, listen, what I can tell you is in my own experience, playing for two first-year managers, one being a Hall of Famer who and one being one that probably would have been a Hall of Famer, had his back not betray him, Don Mattingly and Ryan Sandberg.
I think Don Mattingly still should be, honestly, but like that's neither here nor there.
I think... One of the things, well, at least that's the reason why he's not in there, because certainly his credentials would say otherwise. I think the point is that I watched it speed up on guys like that who had a ton of experience in their first year. So I say all that to say it doesn't necessarily have to be a detriment if you have a good bench coach, coaches that have experience that may, when it's getting sped up, you're able, but those things are easy to. Those things fix themselves over time as you get more experience. So I don't know that that's something that would prevent him from getting the job.
He's also done a little bit of managing here, right?
He's been the
manager of the Dominican winter ball team, Leones del Escogido. I'm saying that as carefully as I can to try and get it right.
That was actually pretty good.
Yes, they won the championship in that league, all right, for what that's worth in January. And because of that, I think cutting his teeth there put him in line to be the manager for the Dominican Republic team in the World Baseball Classic, which has already been named. So who's ever around baseball, I think that has seen Albert Pujols, man. Look, when he played, he was regarded as a brilliant player, who not only was spectacularly talented and athletic, but knew the game as well and better than most players he went against.
Yeah.
And so, and I think whatever he's done as a manager so far has been good enough to at least earn him that role with the Dominican Republic. So somebody likes what he's doing already.
I personally think we should all be excited about Albert Pujols being one of the candidates that the Padres are going to interview.
For sure. We are. All right. We're underway. There was a lot to get to. It was a pretty good weekend outside the Padre world. SDFC, what a Saturday they had. They won, and Vancouver lost, so we ended up winning the division or the conference.
Yep.
Go in there as the number one seed in the MLS playoffs. The first ever playoff game will be this Sunday at Snapdragon Stadium. They'll play the winner of Wednesday's play-in game between Portland and Real Salt Lake. So congrats to them. We'll talk a lot more about that, of course. Also, I went to the Aztec basketball game on Friday night. It started at 7 o'clock. Unfortunately, the Aztecs didn't start till about 7:30.
I was gonna say
it got off to a little late.
Does your back hurt from standing for so long?
I didn't stand to wait for them to make the first basket, but a lot of people did. That was a tough start, but we'll talk about that. The Aztec football team actually saw itself getting some votes in the rankings today, if we can all believe that. And so we'll get into all of that stuff as we go along. Alden Gonzalez at 2:40. The NBA season starts tomorrow. Keith Smith from Spot Track will be on later in the show to give us a preview of that. All of it's coming up on Gwen and Chris.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Press.
219, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scravey. Padres back in the news. This time, Albert Pujols is involved, and he sounds like he'll be getting an interview. It sounds like Nick Hutley's name was mentioned as well in Kevin Acey's article. And Ruben Niebla as well. His name was mentioned in Kevin Acey's article.
I saw Nick Hunley over the weekend. Someone, somewhere, he was out of the running for the Giants, and Chris Young seemed to indicate that he was planning to stay with the Rangers. Hunley. I don't know that that means that he wouldn't. Maybe it was only in reference to the Giant job.
I had read that Nick Hunley turned down the job because of something having to do with spending more time with his family.
Okay, well, so that might take him out of running of all Giants.
Yeah, he didn't want to be the Giants manager.
We'll see. His name was mentioned in Kevin Acey's article.
Right. And speaking of the Giants manager, pretty surprising name has moved to the forefront there.
How about that? I mean,
the coach at Tennessee.
Yes, I don't know if everybody is familiar.
Tony Vitello, I believe his name
is. Yeah, he's got kind of the...
Won a national championship a couple of years ago.
His team has started to bubble over the last
but isn't it interesting
five,
that
six
in,
years.
In college football... This would not be even, eyebrow-raising in a sense. College coaches move to the NFL, NBA, basketball, but baseball. When's the last college baseball man? Pat Murphy, maybe. He was a pretty good manager at Arizona State, but I don't think too many college baseball managers that have gone to the big leagues.
No, it doesn't.
Directly.
It doesn't happen a lot, and it also kind of highlights where baseball is now. I mean, it used to be kind of a hierarchy in terms of, you know, what teams were looking for. Now I think because of analytics and I think this is also a testament to Buster Posey kind of thinking outside the box a little bit. You don't see this happening very often. But yeah, according to Andrew Baggerly and Brittany Groley and Ken Rosenthal.
Ken just has to be on every article that's up there. He just has to
throw my name on there.
Yeah. I sent you one text that I got.
I'm not reporting this, but I would have. So put me in there.
Doesn't this?
I mean, I read somewhere that one of the things he did in their meeting was talk about beating the Dodgers, and that was something that kind of got
thing to bring
Posey's
up.
Attention, it sounds like. So it sounded like that deal that decision was imminent, like it was coming around the corner, but still kind of quiet on that front. All right, let's get back to the Padres. Eric Grubner joined Ben and Woods earlier this morning and kind of got into some things that, you know, I think most may have thought Eric wouldn't get into. He certainly got into it, particularly as it pertains to AJ Preller and his extension.
Yeah, so shortly after the season ended, our chairman, John Seidler, sent out a letter to our fans and, you know, said a couple of key things. Number one, just reiterated that our plan going into the offseason and in 2026 is to continue to do everything we can to pursue a World Series championship. But that, you know, as we saw in the postseason this year for a second year in a row, you know, there are areas of deficiency where we need to get better. And the only way we're going to get better is if we, you know, go through an exhaustive process this offseason of taking a look at all the different areas of the organization with a particular eye towards how we can improve some of the areas where we need to get better to win a championship. So that evaluation process has started now. You know, as Ben mentioned, you know, we're only 2 weeks into the offseason, but it started and it's going in earnest. And part of that review process, you know, is going to now be looking for a new manager, which we didn't necessarily anticipate coming into the offseason. But it's also going to involve and is already in process involving a review of AJ and a contract extension. So, you know, that's already started. You know, John's taking the lead on that discussion with AJ, and it's always been the plan that the discussions around an extension for AJ would take place beginning in the off season, you know, as part of our review and evaluation. And so those discussions have begun, and, you know, we're optimistic that AJ will be our president of baseball operations past 2026.
That's music to my ears, and I think to a lot of people's. Maybe there's a few holdouts out there who are still not AJ Preller fans.
Yes, I see them all the time on Twitter.
Yeah, right. There's a few people.
What is he exactly one?
Yeah, I can think of 100 people who would be better than AJ. Okay, name three. First of all, Eric Rutner, first of all, I've said this many times. He speaks perfectly. I wish he could teach me a class on how to always properly handle things. He was sure to mention in that answer that we're looking for a manager. And that was something we weren't expecting.
Right.
He made sure to put that in so that to keep that at bay. I get it. You have to have everybody has a job review. But it seems to me on the surface, like what's there to review with AJ? Right. Like, has he not done a good I mean, he's done a great job. Seems like it's a short process, but I also understand there's things behind the scenes that we don't know about and they want to make sure they iron everything out. So I get that.
Yeah. I mean It's just kind of how it goes, I guess.
Right,
you got to go through your job review.
Right. Yeah, you're hitting 425. We're going to bring you back next year, but come on in anyway. Come on in anyway. We're going to have a chit chat.
Like, what would it take for AJ not to come back? Like a low ball offer or less of control over the team? Like, because it seems like because at the end he said we're optimistic he's going to be back, which. And I'm not saying that he meant this, but to me it was like, huh, does that mean that they're preparing for a time when they're when
I don't
he's
think
not
so.
Back?
I don't think so, but it's something you have to say until their signature's on the bottom line,
that's
number
true.
One.
That's
number
true.
Two, you know, I think Tony brought this up last week. I mean, there's always other options out there, potentially, and somebody as good as AJ Preller would be silly not to always have his phone on, which he always does. But as also Tony pointed out, the only other opening at that position right now is with the Rockies, and that's probably not something that appeals to too many people. Right. Certainly not AJ Preller, I wouldn't think.
Right. Now, and so, you know, at least you kind of get some clarity on the AJ Preller situation. The other thing that Ben Woods asked was if he had a response to the article in The Athletic that kind of highlighted some of the relationships that the front office had.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that opportunity and happy to discuss that topic. You know, the Athletic had reached out to both AJ and I, and, you know, obviously AJ went on the record and, you know, I declined to talk about it and in part because, you know, I told the Athletic at the time that it's not true. You know, AJ went on the record and also said it's not true. You know, we've worked together for over a decade, AJ and I. You know, we've always had and continue to have a great working relationship. We respect each other. And, you know, without the contributions that each of us have made, you know, we would not have been able to have accomplished some of the great things that we've accomplished as an organization, really, in particular, over the last 5 years. And so our ability to work together in the working relationship we have and what each of us brings to the table, I think, is a continuing key to our success. And so AJ, you know, shared that with The Athletic. I think it was included in the article. You know, I'm saying it to you today. It's just not true. You know, there's only two people who are qualified to speak on this topic, and you've now heard from both of us. You know, we work well together and we're aligned in our singular goal of winning a World Series championship, and that's not going to change. So it's really, you know, much ado about nothing from my perspective, but I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it and, you know, just correct whatever misconceptions there might be out there.
I don't know. I read a bunch of tweets that said, you guys didn't get along. I should believe them, shouldn't I? I don't know. You know, this is what I'm talking about. At least get a comment from the person before you put the stuff out there.
I think it's all things, both things can be true in the same way that the whole Mike Schilt deal with him being tough on his coaches and sometimes it crossing a line and, yes, that's not okay, but sometimes I think those same rules apply to the rest of the people up the chain, right? I mean, those things from the outside look different than they may actually be when you are on the inside and kind of knowing all, right? And so, it's nice that both of them have addressed this at this point. And so at this point, does it make much sense to continue to go down that line, that road of, oh, they don't have a good relationship. They don't work well together.
But I have a source.
maybe this is a question to be answered on the other side, but we have Elton. So where does that come from?
It comes from people wanting to get clicks. We've talked about this a thousand times.
You're talking about sources.
Yeah, I don't think Dennis Lynn is a clickbaiter.
No, I think those things can, pieces of it can be true possibly, yeah. Right? And so as you start to put, especially from the outside looking in, right? If you're not in on the relationship and exactly what's going on, how it goes, from the outside it could look like what we've heard, yeah. Right? But, you know, at the end of the day, they both have said what they've said. They didn't give you no comment answers. I thought he answered it pretty directly. I think AJ handled it directly. If it isn't true, they clearly both don't want us to know that it's not true, right?
They have a good story together.
It's just not one-sided.
But here's our story.
Nonetheless, let's get to break. Alton Gonzalez joins us next. The Albert Pujols kind of is no longer an Angel candidate. And, you know, we'll see what he knows on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Happy to be with you. Good to be here on a Monday. Sunday wasn't great for Dolphin fans. Yeah, I'm over it, though. Really, I am. This hour is brought to you by Staples, but we're going to be getting to our hotline guest here in just a moment, and I do need to remind you that all of our guests on the hotline there join us via the David P. Shapiro fan hotline. If you are facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro Criminal Defense Attorneys. They help clients regain control since 2010. David's been doing a while. The DavidPShapiroLaw.com, Alden Gonzalez in a minute. Among other things, Albert Pujols will be soon meeting with the Padres, and they will be meeting with him. And we will discuss that with Alden. Also, Game 7 of the American League Championship Series tonight, guys.
Yeah,
5
man.
O'clock. I always love a Game 7. Fun to watch. George
Especially
Kirby.
Especially one of this magnitude.
Yeah, this is to go to the World Series and probably get, you know, wiped out by the Dodgers. But, hey, at least you'll get there. And if you're the Mariners, they've never been there. So it's a big deal for them,
that's
I'm sure.
That's how you feel, huh? Whoever's going
Doesn't
to get wiped out.
Okay, I'm not saying I feel that way. I'm saying that's the prevailing opinion that most people are going to have, Tony. I don't think too many people are going to think the Mariners or the Blue Jays are favored to beat the Dodgers. I don't say that it can't happen personally. I think the prevailing opinion is that the Dodgers are like...
They've been a just juggernaut this
Juggernaut
thing.
Through it.
Okay.
Right. That's I think that's the prevailing thing. George Kirby will start for the Mariners. Shane Bieber for Toronto. That was the Game 3 matchup. And that did not go Kirby's way. Toronto whipped him pretty good in a 13-4 game.
Allowing George Kirby to go in your Game 7 to go to the World Series.
George
the guy
Kirby
who did not want the ball last year.
Well,
he had a good outing. He had one good outing.
He's had some good outings in the playoffs, but
last couple
I think it's a
there.
Fair thing to say. He's 2-3 all time in his career in the playoffs. Kirby is ERA's 4.5.
It's good time
so.
For his first or a good time for a great performance. I tell
well,
you that.
Yeah, he didn't have a good one in Game 3. Bieber is a Cy Young Award winner in the shortened 2020 season, but that is now 5 years past. We should also mention before Alden comes on, as much as it pains anyone around here to say it, Ohtani's performance Friday night was the stuff of legends. I can't say it any other way, can you, Tony?
No,
I mean,
it was you know, I was like,
well, first, I know what you're saying, Scray, but you got to appreciate what you appreciate.
I naturally tried to hate first.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, well, Pujols had a three homer game in the World Series.
Yes, he did. So did Reggie Jackson.
But then I was like, yeah, none of them pitched, though.
They didn't strike out 10 in the game they did it.
None of them pitched, though, unfortunately.
Right. He had more home runs that he hit than hits he allowed.
Yes.
That's
yes.
really saying something. And
so to your point, glazing this too much, right?
Right.
I think at the end of the day, he had a terrific performance. We don't need to keep going
right.
on down.
Well, I'm
going to
say one more thing. He of his three home runs, one of them left the stadium. Let's also, I got to put that in there. Anyway, he finished off the Brewers pretty much single-handedly there. So the Dodgers will get ready for Game 1 of the World Series, which is not going to be played until Friday night. You know, I will say this for the Dodgers moving forward. A 7-day layoff is not the greatest thing ever going into any series. Baseball players don't get 7 days off very often in the middle of a season. So we've seen it before where one team's qualified and the other team hasn't. And the team that kept playing kind of had a little more momentum. Yeah. So
we're going to find out.
We thought
that was a thing with the whole off time. And all the teams who had buys this year ran through the playoffs.
This year, the buys didn't work out. All right, Alden Gonzalez from ESPN, always gracious enough to spend some time with us, and we appreciate it, Alden. How are you today, sir?
Doing great, guys. How you doing?
We're very good. Alden. Very good. Certainly going to jump right in here with the Albert Pujols news. Take us through kind of what you know today. I guess, things have not worked out with the Angels, and as such, the Padres are jumping in line here to bring Pujols in. What more can you tell us about it?
Yeah, there are a lot of managerial openings this offseason, and Albert Pujols has been a pretty prime figure in this. We thought for a while that he was the front runner to get the Angels job. And it looks like that's just not going to happen. They've stopped talking. There's been a breakdown in terms of compensation, but maybe also in philosophy and what they want to do or what their visions are. At this point, that's not going to happen, and they've extended their search out to other people. And, yeah, Albert Pujols is going to interview with the Padres on Wednesday. He's also drawn interest from the Orioles, though there's no interview scheduled there. And as it relates to the Padres specifically, look – as soon as the news came out that Mike Schill was retiring from his position, Albert Pujols was somebody who was, you know, pointed out to by a lot of people in the industry about, hey, somebody who might be a fit for a role like this. Obviously, like, the two key guys in that clubhouse, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., they would probably vouch for him as manager. Now, how far will that ultimately take him? I don't know. But, you know, the fact that he's going to sit down and interview, I think, to me, the bigger thing here, whether or not he gets this job, whether or not he gets the Orioles job or some other job this offseason, it's pretty clear that Albert Pujols is being looked at as a serious managerial candidate. Even though he's outside of a stint in winter ball, he hasn't really done this before. I think it's pretty clear at this point that at some point, whether it's this offseason or another one, he's going to manage in the big leagues.
Adam, why do you think that is? I mean, you kind of hit on it, right? Not a very much managerial experience. We know who he was, Albert, the player. Why do you think he has garnered so much attention, given the fact that he doesn't have a long history of being in this spot?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think, number one, Albert Pujols has always been somebody as a player who was revered by other players, and I think that carries a long way. And I think Albert also was known as somebody throughout his career who was a very intelligent baseball player, somebody who was very instinctual, somebody who knew how to navigate a game. I think that the combination of those two things go a long way with him. But also, I do think that what he did in winter ball opened up some eyes. Tony, I'm not sure if you ever played in winter ball. I apologize
not in the
for
Dominican.
Not knowing that, but not in the Dominican. Okay.
No.
That is an insane atmosphere. People there are baseball crazy in the Dominican. You go through like a 3-game losing streak and people want you fired. Okay. Like that, you talk about like the pressure cooker. Winter ball in the Dominican Republic is it. And the fact that he navigated that and his team, the Leones, got off to a really bad start. And for him to eventually like win the championship, like, I think that opened up a lot of eyes. He's already been named the manager for the Dominican Republic. And I think also too, like, the name Albert Pujols carries a lot of weight. So if you're an owner,
no doubt.
Who wants to make a splash, create headlines, like, yeah, you hire Albert Pujols. So I think that's why he's where he's at right now. But yeah, you're right. It's been a super rapid ascent, much faster than I would have imagined, but it's here.
Yeah, we'll take him. I said last week, I hope he's the manager because I'd like a chance to interview him and get to know Albert Pujols. That'd be a big deal to a lot of people around here, Alden. You touched on something caught my attention there and when you talked about the Angels thing, though, and you said maybe a little bit of a difference in opinion how to do things. I guess it would be more of a generalization in terms of what would you think Albert Pujols' way or what kind of things would he want to manage this Padre team?
I don't know that. I wish I did.
Yeah.
I think Albert wants to win. I think that's first and foremost.
Yeah, that might be the thing with the Angels, yeah.
Well, absolutely. And I think, too, and this is not an Albert-specific thing, but this is like anybody who's going to be a first-time manager. There are a lot of times that your first situation could really set up what your managerial career can be. And if you go into a situation where you're not really set up for success, that could hinder you for the rest of your career. Like if it goes really poorly in a place, even if you are Albert Pujols, it's going to be hard for you to generate momentum again to get hired. So, and I think there was legitimate interest on the part of Albert Pujols to be the Angels manager. There was. I think also the fact that like his kids are in the Orange County area plays a part in it as well. But it's an organization that he knows. But I think having the infrastructure in place to succeed, having commitment from ownership that you're going to spend is definitely going to play a part. And honestly, as somebody like Albert, who I would imagine is a little bit more old school in how he approaches the game, I think having autonomy, or at least as much autonomy as you can get in today's game, in terms of what goes on in a game, setting your lineup, bullpen decisions, all that stuff, I think that will go a long way too. And having said that, I think that would be an advantage for the Padres. And Tony, you could speak to this, but from what I've heard from people who have worked there, one thing about the Padres is if you're a manager, they give you leeway. Like, you manage a game the way you want to. You set your lineup,
yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but that's been my understanding.
Yeah.
Like, no, managers accurate. Set the lineup, they make the bullpen decisions, and like that, that is definitely something that Albert would want.
Yeah, and that's certainly not a guarantee everywhere around the league. So
you get to do it, and then the fans get to criticize it the next day. Right. That's
yeah.
how that
well,
works.
Well, that comes everywhere. Absolutely.
How did, you mentioned it, 8 spots now open across Major League Baseball with the managers. And Albert's a familiar name, but if you had to guess, will we see, as these 8 spots start to fill out, will there be more familiar names, or will we start to see, you know, names like the Tennessee coach that's rumored to be going to the Giants? Like, is that an outside the box type deal, or are we? Is it possible we see more names like that as this kind of fills itself out?
That was the biggest shock of all. I would think, Tony, that continues to be an outlier situation if okay. that ultimately gets done. That's never been, that would be an unprecedented move.
Right.
And I give Buster Posey a lot of credit for doing that. I'm sure there will be some names along the way, that will surprise you, but you know, like you look at somebody like a Ryan Flaherty, who you guys know
right.
well,
right.
like he's gotten a lot of traction for these jobs, understandably so. Somebody like David Ross, who's looking to get back into it, or Rocco Baldelli, who just got let go from the Twins, who, you know, has a lot of notoriety in the game. Like, I think it's interesting, though, because a lot of these teams, like, don't seem to be moving quickly
right,
enough
right.
on these managerial hires. Or maybe it's just it hasn't been reported yet. But I haven't heard a whole lot from the Braves or the Rockies or, I mean, even, I know they reached out to Albert Pujols' camp, but I haven't heard a ton from the Orioles. And this, you know how it is, like this becomes like a game of musical chairs. But you have 8 openings, you know, like this can start getting really competitive really soon. And I'm surprised we haven't heard as much from so many of the teams out there.
Alan Gonzalez, ESPN, very nice to him to visit here. We got game 7 of the ALCS tonight. I wanted to really, really quickly congratulate you, Alden, on your story after the Ohtani game Friday night. And the reason I say that is I've been faced as a writer before, not to that level, but trying to describe something that is superhuman without doing too much hyperbole. And you struck the right chord after that game. Very difficult story to write, but I really enjoyed it. Well done.
Thank you.
But beyond that, Dave Roberts in the celebration said, hey, look, they say we're bad for baseball. So let's go out there and win 4 more and really make it bad for baseball. Is there any truth to what he's saying there in that regard? If the Dodgers win again, easily.
There's definitely truth if you check my social media. Yeah, absolutely. I think one of Dave Roberts' greatest strengths as a manager is that he has this ability to, like, figure out, like, what the tenor of a moment demands and what people want to hear, whether it's his own players, whether it's the media when they're asking questions, or whether it's his fans who have been hearing from baseball fans in every other city about how they bought a championship and they're sick of hearing it and they want to stick it in everybody's face. And that, for as much as it might have angered everybody else in the country, I think that's exactly what Dodgers fans in that moment wanted to hear. That, you know what, you say that we're breaking baseball, let's really break baseball, right? I love it because I love the drama, and I know that people are going to get upset about it. And there is a lot of truth to people's gripe. I mean, look at the reason why the Dodgers are here. The number one reason why the Dodgers are in this position is because their starting rotation is insane, okay? And their starting rotation is insane largely because they spent a lot of money to buy these starting pitchers. Now, is that the only reason why they're the Dodgers? No. I think they do everything really, really well. And when you couple that with the financial resources that they have, you elevate yourself to this point. But, I mean, look, it's funny because everybody thought that the Dodgers were going to break baseball this year and they only won 93 games. And for them, that was not anywhere close to what the expectations were.
That's how they but snuck their
rotation
up on everybody.
Got healthy. Yeah, and their but their rotation got healthy at the end.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at their rotation's numbers over the last month, it was insane. Like, nobody was even close in terms of starting pitcher ERA in the month of September. And it's just continued on through October.
Yeah, no, it hasn't changed much. I mean, you kind of hit on it, right? They have the most resources, but they haven't had too many missteps, right? I mean, Trevor Bauer was probably one that they would want back in terms of what they offered him. But because they have the resources, they were just kind of able to just wash over that, which most organizations wouldn't be able to do. But as you mentioned, they do a whole bunch of things right. And I'm not one of these people that think the Mariners or the Blue Jays don't have a shot, but certainly feels like that is the tenor.
I looked up the odds while we were talking, Tony. The Dodgers are minus 210 over either team to win the World Series. That's more than 50, you know. Right. Like, you're not going to get a lot of money betting on the Dodgers in the World Series, Alden.
You know what, though? The main thing that has crippled the Dodgers in recent years, some would say, was the long layoff. The layoff between...
We were just talking about this.
Yeah. You know, the end of the regular season and, you know, playing the division series. And the Dodgers thought that they bypassed that. And lo and behold, they now have a longer layoff than they otherwise would have ever had that they got to navigate through.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it trips them up, Alden, just for our sake. anyway, great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alden.
Again, I mean, being able to handle that Ohtani story without blowing it too much out of proportion was not easy, because that was one of the greatest performances any of us have ever seen. Right. And, you know, appreciate all the work you do and for coming on and joining us here in San Diego. Thanks again.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that performance is so good that no matter what you write that night, you're always going to feel like you came up short. I continue to feel that way, but thank you for your kind words. I appreciate
it. No, you kept it under control, which, I, like I said, a lot of people would have just blown it, I think, too much. Like, I would have been reading it going, okay, enough already. But you didn't. You handled it right. Alden, thanks again, man. We'll see you soon.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Yes, sir. Alden Gonzalez from ESPN right there.
Real quick. Yeah. Real quick. Alden kind of hit on it. I do think the tenor of Dodgers being bad for baseball, they have flipped, and they are now using that as part of their motivation.
It was like you
gave them something to actually, like, really stick to everybody.
You know,
successful teams have to keep finding things to hate.
There it is.
We have so much money on this team, we have to hate the people that hate us.
If that's what works. I'm telling you, Scraby, I mean, I saw it with Phil Jackson. You saw it with Phil Jackson. He 100%. Could find something every year to get upset about and motivate. That's
Dave Roberts
works.
Caused a lot of problems by the sinister sling. The guy's a liar. The guy's a straight-up liar.
His sinister sling.
He said that Manny threw a ball at him, and his life, he took his life in his own hands after that.
We got an hour in. We'll try to calm Scraby down and continue on.
I can't be calmed!
That's true. More Gwen and Chris ahead.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.